President Clinton a belated apology for adultery. Submarine to search ocean floor for Swiss air wreckage. 12 may be dead in Nevada collision of two military helicopters. Good Friday morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. In Dublin, President Clinton finally said, "I'm sorry for the Monica Lewinsky affair," and he did not take issue with the powerful Senate rebuke by fellow Democrat Joe Lieberman of Connecticut.
The president apparently had extramarital relations with an employee half his age and did so in the workplace in the vicinity of the Oval Office. Such behavior is not just inappropriate. It is immoral.
I'm Mark Noller in Dublin. With pressure building on him to be more forthcoming than he's been, the president relented and said the two words he has resisted saying publicly about his lying to cover up a sexual relationship with Monica Lewinsky. I'm sorry.
I've already said that. I made a bad mistake. It was indefensible, and I'm sorry about it.
Even though it's the first time the president has uttered the words, "I'm sorry," in the Lewinsky matter, spokesman Mike McCurry said it was not intended as something new. McCurry said the president believes that's what he's been saying all along. And as for Senator Lieberman's stinging criticism, the president said he basically agrees with what Lieberman said. Mark Noller, CBS News, with the president in Dublin.
Off Nova Scotia's Peggy's Cove, a flotilla of ships is searching for wreckage and remains from Swiss Air Flight 111. And says Sergeant Don McInnes, the all-important flight recorders.
Of course, we're concerned in finding the boxes. As they get closer into the search, the signals that are transmitted from the boxes will be picked up much more clearly.
Most of the 229 victims, 132 of them Americans, are still in the water. Searchers are not detached from their groom work.
None of this stuff is easy for, I think, anyone. Could be my mother, could be my brother there.
Relatives will start arriving soon at the recovery base. CBS News correspondent Mark Phillips was there as some boarded a special flight in Geneva.
We've seen a few people come through the airport to check in for the flight. They looked understandably distraught, walking arm in arm through a phalanx of foreign press that's still here and into an area to wait for the flight. Swissair has also offered an immediate cash boost of $20,000 to each of the victims' family in case they're short of cash in the interim. Further questions of compensation, of course, will be worked out in the future.
CBS News correspondent Nick Young has more from Peggy's Cove.
Well, Mother Nature hasn't been cooperating very well to make searchers' jobs easy here. The temperamental maritime weather has been windy and overcast with choppy seas, slowing the search for victims. So far, 60 bodies have been recovered. There are 10 Canadian government ships crisscrossing an area of roughly 100 square miles. A submarine has been pressed into service, along with ships equipped with sophisticated sonar gear needed to pinpoint wreckage and locate the all-important black boxes. The head of the Canadian Transportation Safety Board says he is optimistic they will be found. Here in the village, just below the lighthouse known to tourists and mariners from around the world, a special area has been set up for family members who are expected to arrive, who want to view the crash site and talk with counselors. Nick Young, CBS News, Peggy's Cove, Nova Scotia.
CBS News correspondent Bob Orr, who covers aviation, says the investigation is slow going.
The problem is the rough seas have made recovery of the biggest parts of the wreckage difficult so far, so investigators only have a few small pieces of airplane to take a look at, and they have not been very revealing. Beyond that, the two black boxes that could hold the critical clues, the cockpit voice recorder and the flight data recorder, those are still somewhere buried with the wreckage in the Atlantic. And until the investigators can retrieve and analyze those black boxes, they'll have very, very little to go on.
The FAA reportedly issued a directive in 1996 about a wiring problem with the MD-11, saying it could lead to a fire and loss of control. While U.S. airlines were required to fix the problem, the correction was optional for Swiss Air and other foreign carriers. Two Black Hawk helicopters have collided in midair during a night training exercise staged out of Nellis Air Force Base in Nevada. Searchers have reached the site in rugged mountain terrain, and CNN reports the Pentagon fears all 12 crewmen may be dead. A 24-year-old St. Paul, Minnesota woman is being held on suspicion of strangling her six children.
When they arrived, they discovered six victims, all children, three boys and three girls.
They were aged 5 to 11. Police Lieutenant John Vomistek says it's no routine homicide.
We're just trying to stay focused on doing the job but I can't help but believe it's affecting my team as well as me, and quite frankly, as well as the community.
The mother married as a teenager in her native Laos, and neighbors say she was estranged from her husband. One said she regretted marrying so young and was depressed over her heavy responsibility. One of two suspects in U.S. custody for the East Africa Embassy bombings reportedly claims he made a coerced confession. According to the Washington Post, Mohammed Sadiq Odeh claims Pakistani investigators refused to let him eat, drink, or sleep for 3 days until he was pressured into a false confession. For causing mass death, Rwanda's former prime minister gets life. The UN Genocide Tribunal in Arusha, Tanzania, imposed the life sentence on Jean Kambanda, who pleaded guilty in May to 6 counts of genocide and crimes against humanity. Russia's beleaguered President Yeltsin has called his enemies to peace talks on Monday, just ahead of a rescheduled showdown vote on his choice for prime minister, who today announced some iron-fisted fiscal policies. More from CBS News Moscow correspondent Richard Threlkeld.
Russia's warring politicians decided to postpone their latest confrontation only minutes before another crucial vote in the Russian parliament on whether to confirm acting Prime Minister Viktor Chernomyrdin. At the request of President Yeltsin, the communist-dominated lower house of parliament agreed to reschedule the confirmation vote for next Monday, right after a roundtable meeting of the Kremlin, the parliament, and the prime minister. It's apparently a last-ditch effort to avoid the dissolution of the parliament and new elections, and what many fear would be a complete political meltdown here. Meantime, negotiations continue. Richard Threlkeld, CBS News, Moscow.
Russian military intelligence reportedly expects North Korea to test fire another missile tomorrow and has put Far East air defenses on alert. North Korea said today the rocket it fired Monday launched its first satellite and was not a long-range ballistic missile. The Pentagon is dubious. The U.S. unemployment rate held steady at 4.5% in August as the economy added 365,000 new jobs, just short of Wall Street's expectation. U.S. financial markets still wary of international turmoil, mostly shrugged off the report. The Dow Industrials are ahead now 15 points. A power crew clearing a tree toppled by Hurricane Earl in Berkeley County, South Carolina. That storm, now downgraded and heading out to sea, is blamed for at least 3 deaths and power cuts to tens of thousands. Our moon is turning out to be a snow cone. NASA's Lunar Prospector satellite has detected more subsurface frozen water than had been thought, possibly 250 billion gallons. NASA's moon mission manager, Scott Hubbard.
I don't think it's a frozen lake that you're going to have lunar penguins skating around on. But what we do think we have is maybe 18 inches of moon dirt, and then underneath that, reservoirs of pure water ice.
Once converted to water, it could be enough to sustain a human colony on the moon's surface. And that's the World News Roundup for Friday, September 4th, the broadcast produced by Steve Balton and Steve Kathan. Engineering by Dave Saviot, Andre Archambault, and Michael Brown.